We'll tell everybody, oh, you got twins running your family? Now, you know to skip a generation. Like it's a law. In reality, it's a myth. But we'll tell everybody, if twins run in your family, it's going to skip a generation. And you're going to have twins. Then they have a baby boy, just one. Oh, but it was in the spirit. There's two. I know it. I felt it. Because you want to follow along with the myth. But when the truth is presented to you, it's up to you to receive the truth as truth. Spirits work through generations. And so when we address the spirit of Jezebel, and we address the spirit of curses and witchcraft upon our life, how many of you were tested in it right away? Yeah, you get tested right away, right? That's the conflict to the word. Conflict comes. I had told my wife, you know, I'm gonna find somebody else to preach on Wednesday. I'm gonna take some time away from the pulpit. I'm gonna take some time off. That didn't happen. I said, why? You know how we ask God, why? And when you really want to know the answer, you ask the longer why. Why does conflict always arise? Can't we just live in peace? Can't we just live in joy and happiness and be smiling every single day that we're here on earth? Just like, man, God is good. He is awesome. He is wonderful. He's with us all the time. And I know that whatever I'm going through, he's going to get me through. Ain't no one shouting amen now. I got one. We're like, what did he say? I heard him say, you ain't no one saying amen. So we conflict arises, and then all of a sudden our countenance changes. I said, Lord, I know I heard from you. I know that was that time to release that. Everything was a buildup. Did you see how it was building up message after message after message concerning about go to Psalm 91. Teach them. Break it down. Psalm 91. Oh, that's how we deal with witchcraft. No, it's not. That's how you deal with building your faith. How you deal with witchcraft is what we did on Sunday. Now I'm going to tell you how to deal with conflict. Because the conflict still comes. It still comes. It'll make you feel so conflicted whether you trust the word or you don't. Right? How many of you, well, I don't want to put this in this atmosphere. You've looked at a circumstance in your life that hasn't changed. Are you conflicted with the word and your present state? There's confliction there. Yeah. Wait a minute. If this took place, here's the standard. How come this hasn't changed? Yes. Amen. So we go back to look at what started the conflict. Is it a conflict of the word, or is it the conflict that is coming against you to challenge the word? When conflict arises concerning the word, what usually happens? We begin to doubt. And when we begin to doubt the word, what happens to your faith? Is it, it's like that pressure on your tires. Went, you got a flat and you can't move. See, the enemy works, and here's what I want to share with you, what I want you to understand. The enemy works eternally. Why do I say eternally? Do spirits... Once you cancel their plans, do they stop coming against you? No. They work eternally. Do they get tired? No. Enemy, the spirit does not get tired.
They're very patient.
The spirit will continue to work to wear you out, to get you to get tired.
Yes.
The spirit will continue. It works eternally. They don't have to go find rest because the Bible says that they will have no rest. You understand? They're just going to go and just pick and work and work and work and work. So after, the Bible says that when we get set free, curses are broken. And if any of y'all know about witchcraft, when a curse is broken, the one that started it knows it's been broken. So the witch knows, ooh, that's been broken. We got to put it back on. It's an eternal process. Now, does that mean that you have to constantly fight? Yeah. That means you have to constantly be aware. The Bible says this, when you get rid of a demon, it's going to go out looking for a place. Yeah. And when it finds no place, it returns. Yeah. 7 times worse. Yeah. But it returns to see if the house is occupy. Now, how do you occupy a house? With word and spirit. I say this so that you have an understanding that the enemy wants to come in and make you doubt that anything took place on Sunday. Every time you deal with the spirit, the next thing that it comes to attack is the word. Now, when it comes to attack it that fast, do you start losing confidence? I would like to say that we are all very strong, mighty Christians in the Lord. And we don't have conflict. We don't compromise. And we don't lose confidence. The truth of the matter is, the conflict comes, we get conflicted concerning the word, we begin to compromise, and we lose confidence. That's what happens. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10, we're going to start reading at verses 32. All the way down to verses 39. I'm going to read it out of the New American Bible, the Revised Edition. The New American Bible, Revised Edition. The scripture is Hebrews 10, verses 32 through 39. Verse 32 reads in this wise: remember the days past when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a great contest of suffering. At times you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. At other times you associated yourselves with those so treated. You even joined in the sufferings of those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have a great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. For after just a brief moment, he who is to come shall come. He shall not delay. But my, just one shall live by faith. And if he draws back, I take no pleasure in him. We are not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Father, that you open up our hearts, our mind, and our spirit to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying in this very hour. Lord, give us the strength, and let your word be the very strength to the bones. Let it be the marrow that strengthens our bones so that we can stand firmly against the very deception that has come our way, that will challenge the very efficacy of your word. Father, we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. The title of this message is The Conflict That Causes Us to Throw Away Our Confidence. The conflict that causes us to throw away our confidence. I welcome those of you that are listening by way of the podcast. I pray that you are walking your deliverance out and trusting that the Lord will walk you all the way through And I thank you that this conflict will not cause you to throw away your confidence. I want you to put your attention, first of all, at verse 32, where it says, remember the days past when after you had been enlightened. What is that talking about? That's telling you that once you came to the knowledge of Christ and the knowledge of who God is in your life, then what takes place is you've been enlightened, but yet you started to endure a great suffering. How many of you, when you got saved, wouldn't it feel real good when you got saved? You got saved. You walked around. Ain't no sickness going to be in my body. All the riches in this world are mine because Jesus. You know how we get when we, you know, we just got saved. I'll take on any giant. I'll take on any spirit. I'll walk around, find any demon. It don't matter to me. And then the real demons show up. Called self. Then it starts challenging you. So all of a sudden you got the revelation of who Christ is. And you gave your life over to the Lord. You got baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. You went through the New Believers training course. You went through on how to study your word. And then the next thing you did, I'm going to start taking communion on a daily basis. You got all that zeal. You got all that fire and passion. How many of you still have that? Don't be lying, you're in church. I'm lying because here's what happens. You go through that season in your life where that fire is so intense. You can't wait to get up in the morning and start reading. You can't wait to just start praying before the Lord. You can't wait to use your new gift that came to you. That unknown language. How many of you, when you first got it, you just started praying in tongues all the times? The cat run across the kid. Because it's a new gift. And then my first dealing in the Holy Spirit was having to deal with demons and demonology and deliverance. I got saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saved. Go deliver that demon out of that person. Huh? I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, good. You're not supposed to know. Let me do it. Remember this one? We're sitting there at my kitchen table talking to an individual. Next thing you know, changes. From that individual to his dad that had passed away. Describes the actual accident. And the father's voice in the father describing the accident because the son was never there. I said, whoa, wait, hey. I thought you didn't know your dad. I thought you didn't know what happened. And he described everything. I said, deliver this boy right now. Okay. Hadn't even got baptized in the Holy Ghost yet. Remember I told you that story? Where they try to force you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost? No. Just start saying the vows, A-E-I-O-U, and it's gonna start coming out. It never did. So here we are, sitting at the kitchen table, and my wife is looking at me like, oh, something's going on. Something's going on. So she gets up from the table, she leaves me, and I'm sitting there in front of this demon. I see Inez go to the back of the house. This is honest truth. This is the truth. She got up off the table, which we still have in our kitchen today. She got up the table, and I saw her. She went right to the back room. Side by side, baby. Side by side. She went to go pray for the kid. Then she comes back, and there was Jovita. She was there. She says, we need to intercede right now. Thank God for people that are seasoned that know what's going on when you don't. And you better say amen, because when you're going through something, you need someone that knows and they've been through it or they've been delivered from something and they know how to get you through it. Amen. Sometimes you can be just sitting there, God, I got nobody. He goes, no, I got you. I'm with you. I got your back. Open your mouth and let me feel that. And look what's going to come out. It'll be my words. It'll put this thing to an end. So I had to start dealing with demons. That was the first thing. I said, couldn't I just deal with, you know, headaches? You know how we want to put God to just use me, God, but only like with headaches or stomach aches. He said, no, you're going to start dealing with demons. How many were the first book in, when you first got saved, the first book in the Bible you started reading was Proverbs or the Gospels or Psalms, right? Raise your hands. I got to see it. Got to see. Right? Guess what mine was? Revelations. He says, go to Revelations. I don't understand it. You will. Go to Revelations. Had a little Bible about this big. So my eyesight used to be good. The book of Revelations was highlighted so much. I said, I don't understand this. Dragons and three-headed. I said, that's where Steven Spielberg gets all of his movies from Revelations. So anyhow, I start reading that and I start understanding. There's something more to what's going on. But when I was reading in the book of Revelation, there's always conflict that is taking place. There's always the contest that's going on in the spiritual realm. There's always the enemy trying to influence the people to deny the word of God and the efficacy of it in your life. So there's always a conflict within your spirit. Do you believe the word? Oh, I don't believe Revelation because it's just too far-fetched for me to believe in. This isn't real. This is just something that was symbolic. Well, there's symbolism, but then there's also truth to it. Do you understand? How many of you had dreams about cars or vehicles in your dreams? Right? Do you know that that means ministry? Right? It means ministry. For the longest time, I don't know if I've told you this before, my greatest fear in my dreams was being in the driver's seat in a car going up a hill where I can't see in front of the hood. All I'm looking at is the sky. I don't know where the road ends. And I would wake up in a cold sweat. Whoa. So when I go to 281, 1604, it's that dream plays all over again. I can't see. I'm scared of heights. So I gunned that little car fast to get away from it, right? And then finally it came to me, the Lord says, you're afraid of not knowing where you're going. Let me lead you to where you can't see you're going. And once I get you there, you'll look back where you came from. And you'll understand I'm the one that brought you to it. Do you understand? He says, now when the enemy comes, he's going to use fear, which is the conflict that takes place. How many of you have a phobia of heights? Oh, look at that, look at that, look at that. I hate heights. Or what was the other? Arachnophobia? Spiders? 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 Come on. Oh, snakes, forget that. But spiders. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'll kill them with my hands, whatever stuff. No problem. Ooh. Just, Pastor, you going off track? Why are you talking about spiders? Now I'm going to talk about cockroaches next. You know, the ones that start crawling on you. You can feel it on your neck. Why are you scratching? I'm just talking about. Why are you scratching? Or that it goes up and, you know, it gets between your shirt and your back and you can feel the legs, the little prickly legs going up in the back of your spine. It comes up right to the neck, the nape of your neck. Are y'all feeling that? Watch it. Look, what I'm making a point. Nothing is touching you, but you're feeling like something is. By words that are being spoken. So what the enemy does is put into your spirit, in the atmosphere, words to make you doubt the power of the word. Here comes the conflict. And that conflict continues on. And he'll make you ask this question. Do you really believe that God will do what he promised? This is what he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. He told Eve, isolated her. Did God say you couldn't eat from all the trees? That's not what God said. God says you can eat from all except that. So what is the trick of the enemy? Is to twist words so that there's a conflict with what God said. Understand? I'm going to ask this so that you can address what I'm about to show you. Sickness in your body right now, raise your hand. By his stripes, you are healed. Is there conflict? Because your body has not accepted the healing, right? Because it's still there. So what is the trick of the enemy? I told you. go to many extremes. You're going to die in this state. You're going to deteriorate in this state. There's sin in your life. Do you see what I mean? See how that word has gone forth? That word has gone forth for centuries. And it trickled into the church. Here's the twin scenario. It skipped a generation. Here we are in this generation. And then it's deposited to make you doubt the word, right? What I have seen over the course of time is more and more believers being sick. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. And I say this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This isn't your pastor speaking. This is what I've heard the Spirit of God say. Before there is ever a move of God, there is a counteractive move by the Spirit. It's a demonic spirit. What you see that is more prevalent in the church now is many people going through divorce, many sickness, and many children turning away from their parents. What you are about to see is the greatest move of the Word of God that is going forth with revival and an awakening into the body of Christ that will turn the children back unto the fathers, the hearts back unto the children. You'll see healing go forth into the church, and the people that were coming under so much attack in their body are going to be set free and released from that very bondage of sickness. The enemy wants to keep us so bound by what has been in the atmosphere concerning if you're sick, there's sin, or you don't trust, or where's your faith? How many of you have been told that? You've been told that. Don't you want to just lay hands on them? You just want to lay hands on them. I'm going to put oil all over you. That's it. That's when you want to start speaking in tongues, right? No, not the holy tongues, the other tongues. That's what because they say things that make no sense. I watched this movie. Is it Miracle? What is it? Miracles from Heaven? Cried the whole time. Until those silly Christians in the church come up to her that there is sin in your marriage or sin in your husband, that this is why she's not being healed. Oh, then the little girl, shut your mouth. I got to the point where, you know, Jesus had righteous indignation. Jesus from old school. Well, the Bible says that when he turned over the tables, he made a switch. Read the word. He made a cord. See, some of y'all, they were talking about the cord that comes out of the walls, you know, some of the lamps. Hey, Jesus did it back then. He ran them out old school way. He didn't put them in time out. Let's count to 10. He didn't put them in the timeout chair. He run them all out. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. That when the Spirit comes in to contradict the word, run it out. Run it out. Run that thing out of your mind. Take control over it. Captive. Make it captive. Grab hold of it with the word. Take it captive and bind that thing away from you. Don't let it take root in you. Don't let it take root. Speak against it. Speak against it. You've had, I'm going to show the person you're sitting next to right now. You've had a lot of lies about you. A lot of lies. And it's hurt, it's wounded you. It's made you angry. It's got you to the point that you don't even trust anymore. I'm here to tell you, baby, that God has heard your heart cries. You even got to the point you don't even want to go talk to a certain friend anymore because you're afraid they're going to turn on you and talk about the things that you share. But God has counted every tear that has fallen from your eyes, every tear that has fallen. He says, I've been there to wipe it away, to let you know I'm here with you. There's going to be a change right now concerning the words that were spoken over your life. I bind it now in the name of Jesus that it will not take root into your life. It will not take root into your future. I begin right now in this very moment in the very presence of God, I begin to tell you right now that your new beginning is here today. This is your new beginning. This is your fresh start. The slate is wiped clean. Everything that has taken place up until this point has been washed away by the very blood of Jesus. And you'll see that those curses that came against you, you've had many word curses. There's, matter of fact, there's also some, there's been some, I see some tarot cards that have been read about you. I see some candles that have been lit concerned about you. Those curses are broken off of your life. Broken off of your life. I encourage you. He's with you every step of the way. He's not going to leave you. He's not there to harm you. He's not there to hurt you. He's not there to judge you. He's there to embrace you. Let him get in there. You've been hurt by it. You've been afraid to even get closer to God because so many things, so many family members will come against you. Just walk right into it, into the loving arms of Christ. You felt the bed kind of sink in, and that was him coming to sit with you. Because you've been tossing and turning at night, you can't get the sleep that you need. You're restless. Let the very peace of God just surpass all understanding. And let that peace just fill your heart. He's been visiting you by this very spirit. He's been visiting you. I bless you, beloved. I bless you. Amen. The enemy is trying to work overtime to get you to make you have conflict with God. Not that you're going to go against God, but you're going to go against his word because this doesn't make sense. How many of you have heard this statement? The Bible contradicts itself. Right? Many people say that. And it came from a spirit that makes you not want to read it. I don't understand it. You're never to read the word without praying first. You go to the Spirit, which is the Spirit-inspired word of God, came from the Holy Spirit. You go to the Holy Spirit, give me understanding for what you want me to read. Give me the understanding and the revelation on how to apply the word to my life. My life. Not everybody else's life. My life. Amen? I know it's simple. Just do it. At what point will you give up on God? When all the troubles of trials of life, sickness, pain, etc. causes us to give up? Is that when you're going to give up? Sickness comes in your body. Comes to your children. Comes to your animals. Will you give up then? Times it feels like you're like, I quit. I can't do it no more. I'm tired. I thought this was my Boaz. Or I thought this was this is my soulmate. To put all that to rest, guys, God is not Cupid. Your will chooses your mate. He doesn't go against your will. But he does give you discernment. To discern, should you do it? You know what comes before discernment? Desire. Desire is like, ooh, this is going to, this desire is so strong. It's passion. It's God. And then you get hurt and you get wounded. I can't believe God did this to me. No, your desire, your flesh did that. How many times has it, Spirit of God come in to give you a way out. But we didn't listen. We continue on. Oh, thank you. I may have missed this one, but I'm not going to miss the next one. Lord, forgive me. I missed this one, but I'm not going to miss the next one. Lord, forgive me. I missed this one, but I'm not going to miss the next one. Are we really sorry that we didn't listen to the Spirit? Because if we're really sorry about not listening to the Spirit, we'll make sure that we don't do it again. What can the enemy bring into your life that would destroy your trust in God's power to deliver, to heal, to save your soul, to preserve your family, and to supply your every need? Too many people are throwing away their eternal inheritance because the enemy brings doubt into their minds concerning God's ability to fulfill his promise. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have a great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. You need endurance. The reward should always be greater than what is coming against you. What is that reward? How many of you would like to stay in God's presence and feel him so much? Like when you first got saved. I know I do. I would have people tell me, oh, the Lord is with you. I haven't even opened my mouth. And then I would go home and I would look in the mirror. Honest to God, truth. I would look in the mirror. What do they see? I don't see it. I don't see what they're seeing. What are they seeing? And I would go in my little closet. Hot. Go in my little closet. God, show me. What are they seeing? I hear nothing. But I spent so much time in his presence that when I would come out, they would feel his presence. They would feel it. I used to be with the pastor that he'd spend hours in prayer. Hours in prayer. He would worship, and he'd come out. Remember the first time we met him? Popo's glasses were sideways after we had an encounter with him. It was the presence of God. It was the first time I preached a sermon anywhere. I said, Ma, they asked me to preach at this revival. Come on. So we all went, a whole bunch of us. My spiritual mother was there as well. And so we all went. And then the Lord says, it's not on you. Give the mic to him. Pointed to the man in the back. I see you standing next to Benny Hinn. He's going to lay hands. You're going to get impartation with Benny Hinn. What's your name, sir? He comes up to the front. I said, you got something to say? Done. I was thrown up against the wall by the Spirit of God, sitting down on my butt. I looked over at Popo. I looked for Inez. I see Inez, just, you know, like Alice Cooper with all the. Popo was trying to get up, and his glasses were off his head like this. His hair all messed up. I looked down the aisle because I was on the floor. I looked down there like that. I see my mom over there on the floor just. That man had been in the presence of God, seeking his face, desiring his heart, and the Lord used him so mightily that he had left an impression, a heavenly impression on our heart, did he not? Because of his time spent in the Lord. That gave me such a desire to go after God. Go after God. I want that again, God. I want that again. I want that type of intimacy with you. He says, then pursue me. Pursue me. When you think you know it all, then that's on your knowledge. You just have information. But when you spend time with me, I make that information become impartation, and it becomes real in your life, and you begin to move with my presence and my spirit, that you begin to demonstrate power. We need impartation. That does not come out here. There's some things that will take place in a corporate anointing that he will allow, but the impartation you really want is the alone time with him. Because that's where he makes his deposits. So the enemy's going to try to get you away, bring conflict in your spirit, conflict towards the word, and conflict towards him. Now, every time you want to get closer to God, and you pursue after God, what usually happens? You got everybody else talking about you. What did they used to call us, babe? Holy rollers. We didn't listen to any secular music. Don't turn the TV on. Some of y'all are going to hate this, but remember Pokemon was real big back in the day. It's big again now because they figured out a way how to get the pocket demon in you. That's what Pokemon means. Pocket demon. So our kids were all excited. They had Pokemon cards, Pokemon figurines. Guess what mom and dad did because we're so holy. Got rid of it. Remember that, man? Cleared out our house. Got rid of all my George Strait CDs. It was a sacrifice, Mom. It was. So we went through all the motions that we thought was the right thing to do, is to get rid of everything that had an earthly attachment. We had bottles of liquor and beer. That day, the trashmen were so excited because they didn't have those trash that came. Trashman came out. The trashman got off of the truck, the back of the truck. He couldn't even lift it up. He called the driver out. Hey! Got out, bottles of liquor, beer, everything. Just put it in the cab. You all excited? I was like, yeah, I cleansed my house. Got the oil, smeared it everywhere. The blessed house. Ain't no demon coming in here. True. See, you don't know, we saved. But we weren't saved from ourselves. What we were doing is going through the motions of trying to be holy. We were pushing people away that God was sending to us. So finally, oh, Lord. I'm way out there. This is in that same house where the demon manifested. A whole bunch of demons started manifesting on Friday nights. Remember our Friday night prayers? All started coming over to the house. People would walk in the house that didn't even know us. Strangers would walk into our house on our Friday night prayer, gathering, meeting, deliverance, demon exposed, all that. They would walk in the house. I don't know why I'm here. Well, who are you? Someone just told me to come. It's going. Bam! Prophetic word would go forth, and they would get delivered right at the doorway. Remember that? I said, God, I like this, God. I like it. Ooh-wee. What's going to happen next? Next thing I know, the house is full. I got people from all over the place coming. I have people coming from the far east side, people from the south side, people from our neighborhood coming over. Our whole living room was full. Kitchen was full. We had the dining room, which we had a dining table, but it was full. People all in there. Prophecy going this way, that way, from different people. I didn't know what prophecy was. When I told you, what's prophecy? What's a prophet? You, huh? It ain't me. And then all of a sudden people were starting to get delivered of their past. They were getting delivered of things. And it wasn't anything that we got rid of. It was me spending time, her spending time in his word and in his presence. So y'all missed what I just said. It's not what I got rid of. See, the enemy will make you think you got to get rid of everything. God says, I'm not here to restrict you. I'm here to liberate you and set you free. So that if you spend time with me, I will work through you. So, you know, how many times did David sin? King David. Really? Every day? How many times does the Bible say he sinned? It's not even that. The Bible says he only sinned one time. Not that he only sinned. That the sin that David committed was not obeying God's command. That was the only sin. What did we do immediately? Oh, it's because he was sleeping around with everybody. See, we put the restrictions that says that's when he sinned. Sin is not listening and doing what God said. You miss the mark. All these other things will happen when you turn away from God. All that other stuff. That's what I say, is that the enemy wants to come in and bring conflict to the word, you towards God, and the promise. Will it ever show up? How many of you believe that a prophetic word has gone into your life and it hasn't shown up? Do you believe it's a true word from God? But it hasn't showed up yet. It's been. It's been 14 years on a specific word that we received. And I look back over my life and say, that ain't the word. Because what the word was and what my life is, what my life has been, that word maybe was not from God. See, when you have all type of conflict that comes from the outside, begin to listen to the words that conflict his word. Remember talking about that roach that crawls up from the bottom of your back? It starts to crawl up. You feel those little feet just kind of, they're real prickly and they start kind of going up. And it's almost to the point it feels like you got like about 50 ants going up on your. Okay, watch. You see how you're responding to the word? The description, your mind all of a sudden put a picture to it and it all of a sudden began to make you feel what was there. That's the trick of the enemy. To come in and start telling you things enough times so descriptive that you believe it. And when that happens, that conflict now turns into compromise. Will you compromise? Will you? It'll make you wonder if your sickness, your financial difficulty, your family crisis, your spiritual weakness, will it ever turn around? How about relationships? Okay, I'll move to the next subject because some of y'all are like, oh, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. Y'all are like, yeah, go there, go there. There's some relationships that, you know, I told my wife today, I said, oh, man, got no message today. I ain't got no message. I got 7 pages today. I ain't got no message. Relationships get tested. Relationships are used by the enemy to bring conflict. You're never going to be in a relationship that does not have conflict. Every relationship gets tested. Every single one. You'll know which relationship to be with by way of how you process through the conflict. Do you go to God or do you run away? Because if you both run to God, not necessarily together, individually, you're working things out by the Spirit. But if one goes and runs to the world system and the other runs to God, are you yoked evenly? Because your true heart really isn't for God. It's to not be alone. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm on a park right here. Some of us don't like to be alone. Because if we're alone, fear sets in even more. So we rather put ourselves in a relationship and live in fear, live in pain, live in hurt, or even fear for your own life, as opposed to being alone, because you suffer from rejection and abandonment. And you have to be associated. You have to be dependent to somebody else. The enemy will use that. Keep you bound in a codependent relationship, that you can never grow to become independent with the Lord. See, that's why the word is there to make you whole. It's not there to go and make somebody else whole through you. The word is for you to become whole so that you walk in wholeness to those that you come in contact with. You can give counsel by the Spirit on how they can process through. But what works for Sylvia may not work for you. Do you understand? The way God delivered me may not be the way he delivers you. But the relationship that you have with God must be for yourself. I can't have my mama's God. I'm sorry. I love my mom. I love the way she worships God. But my God, for me, is radical. Because the way he came into my life was not come to the Lord, give your life to me. No, the Lord shook me into the kingdom. So for the enemy to take me out, he doesn't come to just kind of gently lure me away. Oh, he violently tries to take me out. Do you understand? Why? Because my relationship is that strong with the Lord that it's going to take something to really, really mess with my face. And I don't even want to go there, so I just stay in his presence. Lord, help me. I'm going through something, but I'm running to you, not away from you. Do I want to take a break? Yes, you took a break too. The Dark Ages, when he didn't speak. 300 years of no miracles from heaven. No interaction from heaven here on earth. He took a break. I have people tell me, oh, you can't take a break. You're the pastor. You got to stay up there all the time. You got to preach all the time. Well, people ain't going to come to your church. Then they're coming for the wrong reason. Don't put me in no coffin. Before I'm your pastor? I'm her lover. I'm her husband. Watch this. I'm going to try to get this straight. I'm making light of it. My love for her has to be so great. It has to reflect my love for God. It can't be that my love for her is greater than my love for God. That's out of order. My love for God has to be so intensified that it's easy to love her. Do you understand? You know when someone's not in the presence of God, everything is irritating to them. Because they don't know how to go seek peace. So we're going to go back to God being a Cupid, right? Give me my soulmate. And God's like, mm-mm, you decide, because you ain't going to put that one on me. Because I know how you are. Baby, I'm going to take you out to dinner tonight, so get dressed up, okay? And then you pull into a drive-thru at Taco Bell. And then you get mad at God. This man that you gave me took me to Taco Bell. I knew I shouldn't have went to you first. Do you see what I mean? Because we want to put things on God when God says, no, you have my spirit of discernment. You discern if this is the one. But what happens first? Oh, okay, let me go here. What happens first is we look upon first, not spirit. We look upon, what's up? We look with our eyes. And then we get to know them. Liars. You don't even try to get to know them. Automatically you want to say, oh, I don't feel this devil in this room. I want to be content with being who I want to be with when I want to be with them. You ain't going to tell me that I got to go and get married, because I ain't going to get into no relationship and get married and then have to get a divorce and deal with all that mess later. We just going to live together. Compromise. You need, oh Lord. I think my wife had this discussion at Bible study yesterday and on Monday. I don't know when it was. Whenever it was. That's what I say yesterday. She said that she gave her little 2 cents about something. I said, oh, you didn't give him 2 cents. You gave him about a $20 worth. She said, I'm glad I didn't meet Pastor when I was saved. I met him when we both weren't saved. And I think she had a, I wasn't there. It was all women. I wasn't there. But if I was there, she would have had a smile on her face. Talking about her man. I was just waiting for someone to confirm it, because here's what I'm saying. When you talk about Jesus, it should be a smile on your face, because he should be your lover, the one that has all your interests in him. So when you walk around, oh, Jesus is good. Don't come up in my house and tell me, oh, baby, I love you. You want to say it one more again? You love me? Look in my eyes and tell me. I know you love me, baby. Because your eyes are dancing when you tell me. You see, when we talk about God and when we're around Jesus, our joy that is in him is what our strength is. But the enemy wants to get us so conflicted in the things in our life that we lose our joy. We become so conflicted in his word that we walk around like we're defeated. Things happen in this world to the just and to the unjust. And we have to understand that God is there for us and he's not against us. When we're praying and you're crying unto the Lord, he hears you. You're not alone. But some things don't change overnight. Some things have a process that we got to go through. And when we're going through it, we've got to know that the strength comes from the joy of the Lord. Spending time in his presence so that when we walk around, there's an impact to the people's life that we come in contact with. Not being so religious, throwing everything of the world out and being no earthly good. You've got to be, oh God. If you want to reach the lost, quit trying to find them in the church. Find them out in the streets, in your everyday life. There is a dying world that's out there. If you're afraid to witness to somebody, tell them your testimony. How you fell in love with your Jesus. And if the way you tell them is, yeah, well, I got saved. And do you know Jesus? Do you know that if you were to die tomorrow, are you going to heaven or hell? Oh, if you come and talk to me like that, don't be trying to curse me like I'm dying tomorrow. No, tell me, what is your interaction with your lover, Jesus? Are you so conflicted that you'll compromise your testimony with telling people that don't know Jesus? Tell it. You know what? The trick of the enemy is to get you to tell your watered-down version of your testimony. No wonder why people don't want to come into church. Because we walk around. Life is grand. It's beautiful. It's amazing. You think they want to come around you with their problems? They got conflict too. They've compromised a lot of things in their life. Now what they don't want to do is go to someone that has no confidence. They want to go to someone that is confident, which is the boldness in their Savior. When you talk about someone, are you talking to someone that you're talking about something that you know about? They'll know that you know it. But if you're going, oh, God, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. People. God, there's a lot of judgment in the atmosphere right now. I feel it. Angels move about. Too many times we read something and we think because it's information, it's a part of us. It's not. It doesn't become a part of us unless we put it to use in our life. And when we put it to use in our life, it's no longer just a word. It is life to us. When you start talking about Christ to anybody, whether they're in conflict or in the middle of compromise, speak with confidence about Jesus Christ. About Jesus Christ. He says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before everybody on Facebook. We're so worried about what people are going to say. Well, that he won't use that. Oh, he says he'll deny us to the Father. That's what he says. Be confident. Be confident that he is for you. He's not against you. Don't go back to the old ways. Stay focused. Peter had so much faith in Christ, but Peter had conflict. He had compromise. And he lost his confidence. He sat there at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper with Jesus. He broke bread, drank wine. People, oh, Jesus didn't drink. Oh, God, read your Bible. I'm not telling you go out and go drink. I'm telling you quit judging people. Live your life. Be confident in the word of God that he can make change in your life. Peter was there with him. Peter defended Jesus. Peter walked around wanting to cut the people's ears off, kill people for Jesus. Why? He was boldly professing his faith concerning Christ until the moment Christ was gone. How many times has you felt Christ leave your presence and you get fearful? Peter got so scared of a young teenage girl questioning him whether he knew her. Him, Jesus, sorry. I would have been scared too. So she questioned him and he got scared. What did he lose? He lost his confidence in the one that he was following. The one that he knew. The one that he was having supper with. The one that he was always with. The one that he was listening to. Receiving impartation. Receiving information. He was losing confidence in the boldness of who Jesus Christ is. How many times has that happened where the enemy comes in and presents things to you that now all of a sudden you lose the confidence? That confidence, don't throw it away. That's what the Bible says in that very scripture. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. What confidence is talking about? Don't throw away your confidence in Christ. Don't throw away your confidence in the things that you're pursuing God with. Learn to get into his presence. Learn to understand that he's there and he loves you all the way through. Even when you make a mistake. He loved David so much that he says, David was a man after my own heart. How many of you have a hard time with that? Come on. If you were really telling the truth in this church right now, yeah, you would be saying, wait, he sinned. He went ahead and took someone else's wife away from the husband, had the husband killed. He was a murderer. And then he was always sleeping around. Some of y'all even have that same discussion right now concerning your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or whatever. There's so many things going on that we look at and say, I don't know why you choose her. Why'd you choose him? But y'all don't want to raise your hand up in here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go through things. We get tested. In the relationships, we get tested. But if you're after pursuing God and going after God, even though you're going after him and your family members turn against you, your friends turn against you, your coworkers turn against you, people that you're around don't want to be around you no more because you're pursuing God so much. What that is, it's the conviction by the Holy Spirit, not out of your mouth, but the spirit that is inside of you is now convicting their spirit to get things right. That's why he is the veil. He ripped the veil, but he became the veil. He says, if you come to me, you get to the Father. He's the veil. Come into the veil, get in his presence, and you will begin to get the impartation of his presence so that you can release power in the atmosphere. How many of you want to receive power? You want to receive power? How many want power? What, you know what they say in Kenya? Guvu. Guvu. That's Swahili for power. Guvu. How many of you want guvu? I know, Pastor Paul, you're going to be listening to this message. I love you, Pastor Paul. Paul O'Dari out of Kenya. Guvu is in your church. Power is in your church. If you want power, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Power. Guvu. It is the dunamis power that only comes by being in the very presence of God. That's the only way you get power. Many people think, well, I got saved, I've received power. You received the Holy Spirit once you said yes to Christ. There's two baptisms. One, the baptism as you enter into the kingdom of God was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not the evidence of tongue. Not the evidence of tongue. The baptism into the kingdom of God. Then there's a second baptism where there is the evidence where the dunamis power comes in and lights upon the people of God. And because they're already a believer, they're already confessing and professing that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the risen Messiah that sits at the right hand of the Father. Now there's another baptism which comes by fire. And when it comes by fire, now is the dunamis power to for the demonstration of the working of miracles, signs, and wonders. Do you want that? I'm telling you right now, in order for us to experience what God intends, he first takes us through deliverance. I don't wish I had someone here playing the guitar for me, playing some drums for me. Who knows how to play the drums here right now? Jeremiah, get on the drums. Who knows how to, we don't even have a guitar. Okay, get on the drums. Oh, I want a praise team so bad. Someone get the African drum. Somebody get the African drum. Who's going to do it? Get it, Jewel. Come on, Jewel. You were doing it on Sunday. Get the African drum. Come on. Someone get that little. You can pause that back there. Go ahead. Pause it. Get that. There it is.